purpose of the book of Galatians is to prove that justification is by faith. The problem has come up. Judaizing teachers who believe in Christ but claim that's not enough. You have to also obey the laws of Moses. So Paul starts his book out right at the first, rebuking them. He says, I marvel you're so quickly removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another gospel, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Their doctrine is a perversion that will condemn men eternally. Paul is preaching and teaching the fact that justification is by faith. Faith in what God did for mankind who were sinful, as Jeff just spoke of about the Lord's Supper. He wants to prove that man can only be saved by the work of God in Jesus Christ on the cross. There's no other way. Everybody not in Christ is under the system of works which man cannot do. He went to the Jerusalem after he proves that he got his gospel from Jesus. Not from man, he said, I didn't. It's not from man, neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but by revelation from Jesus Christ. That's chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Then chapter 2, 1 through 10, which we spoke of the last time, is considering the Jerusalem conference, where they go, where Paul and Barnabas go with Titus to Jerusalem to establish this very point that justification is by faith in God's work. In verse 11, he says, but when Cephas came to Antioch, I resisted him to his face because he stood condemned. Stood condemned. Paul proves his independence from anybody. He stands with God, he stands with Christ and the truth. Now he even stands against one that in verse 1 through 10 is reputed as a pillar. Peter, James, and John were reputed as pillars. And now one of them, Peter, is an error. He vigorously oppose the truth of the doctrine of salvation by faith against Peter. We don't know when this took place. He doesn't tell us. It may be between the Jerusalem conference and the second missionary journey, because after the Jerusalem conference, we see in chapter 15 of Acts there, that they returned to Antioch, and it said in verse 33, they spent some time there. However long that was, he doesn't tell us, before the second missionary journey. We're not told why Peter went to Antioch. But Peter went to Antioch, and he stood condemned. Paul resisted him to the face. An understanding that we need to understand, which Jesus said If a man sin against you, go to him. Paul went straight to the problem. Resists him to the face because he stood condemned. Now, the word condemned there is in the perfect tense, which is a result of a completed past action. Peter is now standing in the state of being condemned because of a past action. That action is what Paul's going to talk about here. For before certain came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back, separated himself, fearing them that were the circumcision. Certain came from James. Probably, no doubt, teaches the same thing that was the problem in Acts 15:1. It says there, the certain men came down from Judea teaching that men must be circumcised for salvation. You have to be circumcised according to the customs of Moses, saying you have to go back to a system of works according to law. Because that doctrine will condemn man. It is a doctrine that Satan sent to destroy the work. These men that received this were men saved by the grace of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. These claimed to be from James. James says in chapter 15 at the Jerusalem conference, in verse 24, "For we have heard the same some came from us, troubling you with words, subverting your souls to who we gave no commandment." James says, we did not command those men. They went on their own, claiming to go from James, who was reputed as a pillar, along with Peter here. Because before the Jews came down, claiming to be from James, he ate with the Gentiles. This was a violation of the Jews' teaching. When Peter goes in to Cornelius in chapter 10 of Acts, in verse 28, he says, "You know that it is against the law for a man that is a Jew to go into those of another nation." According to their law, they couldn't go in there, but Peter was eating with them before. But Peter himself, in chapter 10 of verse 15, after God had let down that sheet with the animals in it and said, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "Nothing unclean is in my mouth." And what did God say? "What I have cleansed, you don't call unclean." Three times that happened. So that Peter, in chapter 10 of Acts, over in 34, says that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is acceptable to God. So Peter knew the truth. Peter taught the truth. But his actions denied the truth. He stood condemned. He drew back and separated himself from the Gentiles. He withdrew himself. The word means to cower or to shrink when he drew back. His motivation was fear. Fear them of the circumcision. Peter had a problem. He had a problem with cowardice. This is the same Peter that denied Jesus during the trial of Jesus. Just after, in Matthew 26, he said, "Even if I must die with thee, I won't deny thee." And just a short time later, he says, "I never knew the man. I never knew the man." It was fear of what would take place. Fear. Certain came from James to see. We don't know why they came down there, other than pervert the gospel. They might have come down to see what Peter was doing in relation to the truth. But it's the same Peter that during the Jerusalem conference had stood up. He was the first to stand up for the Gentiles and say they're saved by faith, just as we are. He knew the truth. The Jerusalem conference had settled the problem of the Gentiles, but not the problem of the conduct of the Jews. They knew. Therefore, they were hypocrites, acting a part that they knew wasn't the truth. Men are saved by justification apart from works of law, but that doesn't control his traditions. It's the same problem that we have today with racism. We know the truth, we know what's right, but the conduct of many people don't go according to what is right. They're just like Peter. People that are racist today are just like Peter in this problem that we have here in Jerusalem. Men are saved by justification by faith. But Peter is showing them that a man has to obey the law of Moses when he withdrew from fellowship with the Gentiles. He ate with them before. Now he is a hypocrite. He knew the will of God. And the rest of the Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that even Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. Fear, hypocrisy, the word dissembled in the original language is a word we usually translate hypocrite. The first one there, the Jews disassembled, is there's a preposition in front of the word hypocrite, which means they together, the Jews all together, were being hypocritical. Read that verse in the New King James Version or the ESV. I think the New American Standard is right. It translates those words as hypocritical. They were being hypocrites. Sinful respects of persons of whom Jesus had died on the cross to save. This action of Peter and the withdrawing and hypocrisy of the Jews denied the doctrine of saved by grace. They put the works, they put it back under works, which no man can be saved. Peter, one of the three special apostles, if you can call it that, because Peter, James, and John often were called out to do or go with Jesus, like at the Transfiguration or the raising of Jairus' daughter. Only they were allowed to go. They had special attention given to them. Chapter 3, as we already talked about, three visions proven to Peter that what God had cleansed, don't you call unclean. He justified that in chapter 11 before all the Jews in Jerusalem. He stood strong in the Jerusalem conference in verse 7 through 11 of Acts 15, declaring that the Jews would be saved just like the Gentiles by faith. Even Barnabas was carried away. Barnabas, who went to Antioch, having heard that they were teaching Gentiles, he went there and taught Gentiles, brought Gentiles to Christ. He even went to Tarsus and brought Paul down, and the two of them were teaching and bringing Gentiles to Christ. On the first missionary journey through the area of which was receiving this letter, they taught the truth. Many Gentiles come. They went to the synagogues and taught the truth to the Jews. When the Jews rejected that, they went to the Gentiles. Without any requirement of circumcision or obeying the law of Moses, salvation was totally based on God's work in Christ Jesus our Lord. This was a serious moment, a solemn moment, probably a sorry moment for Paul. Paul was seeing all the victory of the Jerusalem conference vanish. He's seeing Barnabas leave him. Barnabas has now deserted Paul, and the Jews followed all his hypocrisy. Both Peter and Barnabas were acting a role that they knew better. That's hypocrisy. They denied, in their actions, denied justification by faith, justification by grace, which we lay hold on by faith. The system that they were teaching by their actions brings condemnations. Chapter 5, verse 4 of this book says, you're separated from Christ. You that would be justified by faith, you've fallen from grace. There is no salvation there. But when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Cephas before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest as the Gentiles and not as the Jews, how compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? They walked not uprightly. They weren't walking in parallel to God's teaching. They were walking opposed to it. False doctrines destroy men. Paul's courage in this is to really be admired. Paul is a Jew, and he stands before one that's reputed as a pillar in the church, Peter, and Barnabas, who had a good name for teaching, and all the Jews. He stood before them alone and took the side of the Gentiles. Paul stood with Christ and the truth no matter what. He wasn't moved by peer pressure like Peter and Barnabas were. So I said to Peter, before them all, Peter, must have been the leader of this when the Jews came. So Paul is addressing Peter straight to his face, but it is a public sin, and it'll receive a public rebuke because he said it to Peter before all of them. Now, who they all were doesn't say whether that's the Jews or the whole church. Doesn't say. But what he says applies to the Jews, who is denying the truth of the gospel. But it is recorded for everybody so that we can know that any deviation from justification by faith will receive condemnation. Thou being a Jew, livest as the Gentiles and not as do the Jews. How compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? He's saying, though you are a Jew, you allowed yourself freedom to ignore the Jewish tradition beforehand with respect to eating and drinking and fellowship with the Gentiles. He denied the Jewish traditions. Now how can he go tell these Gentiles they have to abide by the Jewish traditions, is what he is saying here. He says, we being Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Peter is no doubt the main person in Paul's mind, but he's speaking to them all. Because we see here a change of pronouns. In verse 14, if thou, being a Jew. In verse 15, he says, thou is a singular, speaking of Peter. Here he says, we being Jews, including himself in that, not sinners of the Gentiles. Being Jews had the privilege. They had the whole Old Testament, which the Gentiles didn't have. Romans 3, 1 and 2 speaks of that, of their privilege above the Gentiles. God revealed himself to the Jews. To the Gentiles, they were outside of God. In Psalms 147, verse 19, said he showed his word unto Judah, his statutes and his ordinances unto Israel. He has not so done with any other nations, and his ordinances they have not known. They were outside. They didn't know God. Finally got it to go on. Now is the great doctrine of the Bible, justification by faith. We know that a man is not justified by works of law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have faith in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith and not by works of law. For by works of law shall no flesh be justified. This is Paul's great theme. Galatians and Romans, and it goes through all of his books. Justification is totally on the work that God did. Every man that is saved will be justified by faith. There is no other system, no other method by which a sinner can be reconciled back to God. Justified 3 times in that passage. Every one of them is passive. It's what we receive, not what we do. Our salvation is totally dependent upon what God gives us. All three verses. This is the most important, or one of the most important doctrines of the Bible. If you miss this, you miss salvation. There's no other way to be that a man can be saved. The only alternative to justification by faith is by works, man's works. All the religions of the world, Buddhism, Muslims, Shintoism, whatever it is under the law of works. The Buddhist saying is tam di dai di, tam chua dai chua, which means if you do good, you get good. If you do evil, you get evil. The statement is true. If you do good, you get good. The problem of it is, if you do evil, you get evil, and everyone has sinned. Therefore, they stand under the law of works. They'll stand before God by what they did, not by what God did. And only God can bring salvation. Salvation is putting one's whole trust in what God did for us. Justification is a forensic term. It is a judicial act of God. Justification is a decision of the judge. It is a gracious act of God on the basis of Christ's accomplished mediatorial work on the cross for sinners. When one enters into Christ, God says, justified. It's a point action. It's not a continual action. Jesus said, I come. Jesus fully satisfies the demands of God's law. He paid the debt for which we owe. He paid it in full. Listen to a few verses. Jesus said in Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for the many. Jesus did it. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, who God sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. It's the only way. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Jeff mentioned this morning, he who knew no sin, God made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God saw the travail in his soul till he was satisfied. Galatians 3:24. The law brought us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. In him, in whom? Jesus, Ephesians 1:7. In whom you were redeemed by his blood. The only redeeming thing is by his blood. There's no other way to receive salvation. Titus 3:7 says that by justification by grace, we are made to lay hold on eternity according to the hope of eternal life. Jesus is the only answer. Jesus says all things have to be fulfilled. Luke 24:44, before he ascends into heaven after his resurrection, says, These are the things I told you beforehand. All things that are written must be concerning me must be fulfilled. The things in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, they all had to be fulfilled, and Jesus fulfilled every one of them. Till he hangs on the cross, 6 hours in agony, God seeing the travail in his soul until our sins was totally paid for. And Jesus says in John 19:30, it is finished. It's done. Everything required for man's salvation is done. That's the reason Jesus tells you in John 14:6, which we all know, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Peter says before the Sanhedrin in Acts 4:12, in other man there is no salvation, neither is any other name under heaven given among men wherein we must be saved. It cannot be earned. It is a gift of God. That's a love deeper than we can even begin to understand. The whole life of Christ laying aside his deity, become flesh and blood. He that created this whole universe now is a helpless baby just for us. Fulfill the whole law of Moses, the standard of perfection of God. He fulfilled it all. The only one in all history that could take our sins and pay them at the cross. Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace were you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. It's a gift of God. John the Baptist said in John 1, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus did it all. We have to humble ourselves and receive that. The only way of salvation. But if while we sought to be justified in Christ, we ourselves were found sinners, is Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. If we're found sinners, it means just what Peter's done. He, with the Judaizers, have denied the truth, and he has found a sinner. And all desiring to be justified, they become sinners by denying the truth. Is Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. That God forbid is a strange statement, because if you look at the original language, there's no theos there. Man don't know how to translate that. You look through the different translations, it's translated different. The word in the original language means don't even think such a thing. Don't let such a thought come into your mind. Paul is saying, consider what you're doing, Peter. By your actions, you're leading people astray from what Christ taught. You're saying the teaching of Christ is false. By your actions, Peter, and all of you Jews, you're denying the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're saying that justification is by works and not by faith. I got to hurry through all this. For if I build up again the things which I destroyed, I prove myself a transgressor. That's exactly what Peter's done. Barnabas and all the Jews, they've built up that which was destroyed. They have turned back, and now they prove themselves a transgressor. He taught Peter and Barnabas, taught and obeyed the correct doctrine, but we're now practicing a false doctrine, a doctrine of condemnation. Outside of Christ, there can be no salvation. Only in Christ, only in what Christ has done for us, can there be salvation. There is no other way. If you're not in Christ, you're under the system of works. Whichever man under that system is condemned. Come to Jesus. Be baptized into Him where there is salvation. No other place can you be saved. Don't stand before God with your works. There's only condemnation there. Are you going to let all the sufferings of Christ go for nothing and deny that when He paid everything so you can be saved? If you need to come to Jesus, come today. Whether you've never been in Jesus or drifted away, or whether you have any problems, we're going to sing a song. You can come forward and let the elders know what your needs are while we stand and sing.